Recording is on.
Good morning, David. This is Blanca from Blanca Professional Services, and I welcome you to our podcast today. I know you are a pretty busy person, so.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. So, I know that today you have a very important message to share with our audience, and I first want to introduce you. So. I want to welcome David Gomez. He's the Senior Account Executive for Pacific Coast Title Insurance. And he will be talking to us about second mortgage loans. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, before we start, can you tell us more about how 80-20 loans work, or how do people get those, or, you know, because I know a lot of people might say, what is that, you know?
Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. So it's very simple. The 80 are two loans that are used when a person or a buyer purchases a property. So they use 80% for their main loan, their first loan, and 20% for the second loan. Now, one of the main reasons people do that is so that they can avoid mortgage insurance. Now, whether or not they can do that now, I'm not sure. I don't think there's any, I haven't heard of any programs lately that allow for that. But back between 2000 and 2007, these were used very often to purchase properties.
I see. Okay. And why is it important that people don't forget that they have an 80-20 loan? Because I know a lot of people, when they buy a home, they, you know, think about the first mortgage lender on the loan, but sometimes they forget about the second loan, you know. And then how do they get a second loan? Did they have to cash out? Did they refinance the house and that's how they got in it? Or because they didn't want to use the PMI? Or what was the situation?
So back in 2000, between 2000 and 2007, people were purchasing properties at 100% financing. So what they were doing is they were having to take out two loans, right? Reason behind using two loans is because if they didn't have 20% equity in the property when taking out their first loan, they would have to pay mortgage insurance. So in order to avoid that, people were actually taking out two loans, an 80% and a 20%. So they would put down the 20%. That's how they would avoid having to pay that mortgage insurance, right?
Yes.
And a lot of that they were avoiding having to put any money down because they were using 100% fine.
Right, exactly. So then now, why do you think people might forget about paying the second loan and not the first one? They don't receive an invoice or they just think it's included in the first loan or?
No, so what happened was after the mortgage meltdown in 2007, 2008, a lot of people either modified their loan, they filed a bankruptcy and included that second loan on it, or just stopped paying. Reason they stopped paying was a lot of mortgage lenders that held that second mortgage on it, that 20%, either stopped sending out statements, bank statements, or, you know, mortgage statements, or they sold it to a credit collection agency, and the credit collection agency didn't do anything, so they just held on. We like to call them zombie loans because they kind of just went dead, you know, for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're coming back and approaching the homeowner. So the homeowners, that's why they didn't pay on that second loan, is because they stopped receiving statements, or somehow the loan was either bankrupt. Well, not somehow, but it was either bankrupt. They put it on bankruptcy, or they did a loan modification. So when they stopped receiving payments, they thought that obviously, they weren't having to owe that money anymore, which was not true.
I see. Okay, but now, how come do you think the bank or the collectors did this on purpose so the money accumulates and then they can collect more money on the homeowners? Because, I mean, I guess if you have a good business, you have to be sending out your invoices so people don't, you know. People don't, usually people, the majority of people, they forget about their statements, if you don't send them. So why do you
Right,
think is that?
but I don't think that you would just forget about sending out your second mortgage payment if you stop receiving it completely. I mean, you would want to know what happened and call the bank, and you don't just forget about it. Oh, I don't owe that second, right? You
Right.
obviously would know. Yeah, you might be late on it, but you don't just forget about it.
Right.
The lenders, a lot of people don't know that banks, a loan is good for up to 60 years. So if you don't hear back from them in 60 years, well, I mean, that's a long time, right? So the bank has, or the lender has, up to 60 years. They don't have to send anything. If you read all the paperwork when you do take out the loan, there's a little statement there that says, if for whatever reason you do not receive a statement, send money here, and it gives the name of the bank along with the address on where to send your payment. So there's really no excuse as to, not knowing where to send it, right? Unless you've already called and they're no longer in business, you don't know who they sold the loan to, etc., right? So when during a bankruptcy, typically you put a loan through the bankruptcy and they're ordered to stop all communication, right? So it's natural that they're not going to send any type of statements, when you do a bankruptcy on one of these loans. So yeah, because you stop receiving payments doesn't mean you don't still own it, you own
Right.
money. If there's a notice of reconveyance recorded you against that loan, then yeah, okay, then that means that the property, or excuse me, the loan had been paid off and the lender or the bank acknowledges that, right? But
Right.
many of these second loans don't have a reconveyance recorded against it, so they're still active.
Now, that's very interesting because now that you mentioned, I really, I mean, I read the statements from my own, house, I guess, but I never really pay attention to what you just said about if you don't receive a statement, for some reason, maybe I read it, but I didn't put too much attention about it. But that's a tip that you gave our audience today because then they have another way to find. Now, okay, maybe I haven't received my statement. I might review an older statement and see what's in there so I can call the right person to send me a new statement or something, or see if the loan has been resolved or something happened. So that's a good tip. Yeah.
So it is. And what's happening now is, since lenders have waited quietly for so long, they realize that in some areas the equity is kind of going down. So now they're approaching these homeowners and saying, hey, you guys owe us twice, let's just say twice as much. You owe us this money. You need to pay us. And so now the homeowners are having to pay these loans. Now that is twice as much, right? With all the penalties and all the back payments and interest and what have you, they're owing a lot more than they originally took out, because here it is, 15 years later or so. And so now they're owing a lot more money. So now what these lenders or credit collection agencies are doing is they're reaching out to the homeowners and they're asking them for full payment. And if they don't pay the loan completely, then what they do is they start foreclosure procedures.
I
And
see. Wow.
yes, not everybody has received these notices or has, this communication from that set, but there are a lot more people coming up, and saying that they have received notices.
I see. Okay. So then, how does title insurance help those people that are being affected by this? Like, can homeowners call you and say, I didn't realize I have a second, I didn't know that I could call somebody. Do they approach, title insurance and they say, can you help us to find out who the second loan person is, or? or not?
Yeah, well, what they can do is they can reach out to you.
Okay.
They have homeowners, if anything, they have choices, right? So you have a choice to whether borrow money from someone, and if they do owe this money, find out what that balance is, right? So that's where you come in. You do your research, you call me, I look into it for you, and you communicate with the homeowner.
Okay.
So then, once we establish who this lender is, then you can start communication with them and see, because eventually, if they go to refinance or sell the property, this is going to come up and it's going to be an issue, right? So the options that I feel people have as homeowners with second loans on there that went silent are borrow money from a friend if they can't qualify for a refinance, right? Try to pay that off. If they can't pay it off and they're getting notices from the second, then the only other choice they have would be to sell the property
I
while they're
see.
still equity. That way they're able to pay the second loan off and still walk away maybe with some money.
Or maybe get a private investor who might be willing to lend them money to pay off the note or something in the meantime.
In the meantime, yes.
Okay. So that's that. I mean, those at least two or three different scenarios that the homeowner can do if they have this situation.
Correct.
You know, this is interesting because I think it was last year, I came across a person who needed this kind of help. You know, I didn't realize, you know, that second mortgage existed, you know. I mean, somehow, you know, so even if you're in the real estate business, sometimes there are things that you don't know, you know.
Right.
And you know, being in the real estate and loans and lending is kind is those are different, you know. And so since I'm not a lender, I don't know too many things about other things, you know. But
Right.
I came across this person, and she was telling me about what was happening to her family, and that's exactly what happened. Her husband and herself bought a home, but it's not a home. It's like kind of a office complex. Like they have 10 different small offices in the building. And when they bought it back in the day, it was, you know, maybe not cheap, you know, because real estate has never been cheap, you know. But I mean, compared to prices today, relatively was cheaper before. And now they have accumulated a lot of equity on the home. And then all of a sudden, she said, "Oh, I got a call from this person and told me I owe money." And she's like, "But I've been paying my mortgage payments on time and everything," and she couldn't figure out what was happening. And until, you know, I said, maybe you have to call them back and find out, you know,
Right.
why do they say that you owe them money?" And that's how we figured it out. And then that's how, you know, we connected and the dots. And now, you know, she did have to refinance the building. You know, now the building, it's about, I guess, 1.5 million, you know, in equity value.
Yeah.
But I mean, now at least she can sleep because she doesn't have the pressure that, you know, she's gonna lose the building. And she told me, you know, "How could this happen? You know, I bought the property back in the day and I paid this much, and now that the building has equity and so on and so forth, you know, I don't want to lose it." And so it was like a tremendous anxiety, I guess, you know, from the part of the homeowner.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe she did a bankruptcy or a modification and thought that the second was forgiven. And so that's what happened. The second, the lender or the credit collection agency who bought the loan was probably calling her and said, "Hey, look, pay me my money in full or else I'm going to start foreclosure procedures," just as I mentioned.
Okay, I see. So do you think, I mean, in some, when would you, I know you're not a home lender, and I understand, you know, you might know this answer, but do you think any homeowner who's thinking to get a second loan, is that a good way to do it, or do you think it's not good to do that?
Well, see, what we're talking about are people who purchase the property using an 80-20 loans. People who own their property now
Yes.
would take out a second loan on their property, let's just say an equity, home equity line of credit. Usually HELOCs, home equity line of credits, what they do is they sit on your property with zero balance until you start taking money out.
Right.
Then start charging you interest on the money you took out.
Right.
You could pay it back and bring it back down. It's kind of like a credit card.
Right.
You're constantly taking money out, but you pay it back, right?
Sure.
So depending on what you want to do with that money is whether or not the idea, right? So
right, exactly.
Let's just say me, for instance. I have owned my house for a while. I decided to take money out with a second, you know, loan on my property. What I did is I wanted to invest in another property. So what I did is I took that money out, put it in my bank account, and as soon as I found the property I wanted, I used that money to purchase that property cash.
Right, okay.
I then refinanced, pulled the money out, and myself back against my primary residence. So now I have a zero balance on that second. But I still have it there in case I want to use it for another property.
I see. So you're using it more as an investor usage, you know,
right.
to invest in another property and then pay off that loan and then come back and redo whatever you're doing. So
right, right. Okay. So you continue to do that over and over again. Now, other people use it for other reasons, maybe for
sure.
an emergency fund, right? They might
sure.
have that money there, just there where if something comes up, they have access to it, right?
Right.
So really depends on what you want to use it for, on whether or not you want to pull a second on your property.
But now, I'm familiar with HELOCs, but I don't know, will HELOCs, you know, I think since they're more in the banking industry, they're more like, probably more aware if, you know, you're missing your payment or something. So they'll probably be more like sending you receipts or invoices, you know, for if you forget to pay, I guess, you know?
Yeah, with HELOCs, if you have a balance, it's like a regular mortgage.
Right.
If you have you'll be receiving your monthly statement. And a lot of them are just interest only.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep that in mind. The payment that you get, like the statement you get, will be for just the interest amount that you have to pay back, right? If you add a little bit extra for the principal, that's fine too, but usually they're interest only. But you do receive monthly statements on that money that you owe. If you don't owe anything, you're not going to be receiving monthly statements.
Sure. So that's interesting too. So now, usually, I guess also the 80-20, so I don't know, back in the day, the 80-20 like you're mentioning, do they have a penalty like balloon payment or some pre-penalty or something? Do you think they were billed by that?
Each loan is different. So
yeah.
It wasn't, I don't think they were a balloon payment at the end. I think it was just as regular mortgages, right? A first and a second that were taken out. And they were both regular loans. And just people stopped paying on that second loan, which wasn't a good thing. So
sure.
what now those lenders or credit collection agencies are coming back to try to collect that money from them. Not only the original balance, but everything else that they haven't paid, their monthly
right.
payment, interest, penalties. So it
yeah.
adds up. It
yeah,
adds
no,
up.
And right now is not a good time for, you know, a lot of families out there because of the economy and, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs and things like that. So let me ask you, do debt collection agencies, do they contact title insurance like your company or any other company that provide title services to find out who these second loan people have that haven't paid their mortgage are, or they have their own way to know that?
No, so you're asking about the lender who owns the loan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, if they bought it from somebody else, like another lender, like a kind of like a bad loan, it's, you know, so the lender will sell the loan to them at a discount. They start calling on these people. So
sure.
the Bank of America sold it to a credit collection agency for pennies on the dollar, let's say, right?
Right.
Now, this credit collection agency is going to try to get as much of that money back as possible. So
sure.
now it's up to start calling and start foreclosure procedures. So they wouldn't call us. They would know already that loan
who owes then. I see. Okay. Now, now how does title insurance plays in this situation? Like, I guess the way I can see is when the homeowner in this kind of situation has to refinance again, then maybe that's when you guys come into play again. Is that true?
Yeah, so if they refinance and try to pay off that second loan, that's when we come in, we do the report, we do all the research that we need to do to make sure that everything's good. Or if they go to sell the property, if they just can't refinance, they don't qualify. Now with this higher interest rates that we have, they might not qualify. So they sell the property, and that's where we come in as well. The realtor, you, the realtor, Banca would call me and say, I need a title report on this property. We'd get the ball rolling. And then once you find the buyer, we go into escrow and go from there.
Okay. Well, I guess just to recap our conversation, so we talk about 80-20 loans, and we're mainly talking for educational purposes. We always have to disclose that because either Pacific Title Insurance, Coast Title Insurance, and myself, we're just trying to educate people out there to be more knowledgeable with different topics, and we sometimes might cross a little border, but it's not because we are professionals in that specific area, and that's why we always suggest if you need a specific advice to a particular situation, then contact, your mortgage lender, your insurance professional, your title insurance, whoever is your advisor on your team, investment team, or legal advisor. So we always like to disclose that because everything we talk here is about educational and just for informational purposes. So
Right. And Blanca, I also suggest they call you because now you could start doing some of this research for them, find out what options that the homeowner has, and then go from there. You would probably call me, you'd call escrow, you'd probably the lender. You would find out as much information you can to relate over the homeowner. So once you have that, then I would suggest if the options is to refinance, now you have that connection. You can refer them to a lender that you have, or three of them.
Right.
And then if they need a sale, now you can do the real estate on it. And then you would contact me for the title insurance. So,
Right.
we're a team. We're here to help the homeowner. And their first step is to call you, and then you can do all the research for them.
That's true. Well, that's very nice that you mentioned that. And well, David, I want to ask the audience to also, if they need or they know or they have a friend or somebody who is looking, for title insurance services, they can give you a call. And that's David Gomez. Do you mind sharing your contact information and how people can connect with you if they had more questions specific to title?
Sure. My name is David Gomez. I've been in this industry for about 25 years or so. I'm with Pacific Coast Title. My phone number is 562 area code 619 6062. 562 619 6062. And you could always email me as well to dgomez@pct.com. dgomez@pct.com.
Okay, and everybody who's listening to this podcast, we want you to reach out. If you have questions, you can call David or you can call me. My number is 1-800-637-5833, and you can also search online. I have two websites, one because I am a financial planner and also a real estate agent, so I kind of combine, my websites, but I'm gonna provide you the realtor side website, which is blancafunix.exprealty.com. And then if you need anything else on the financial side, then just go to blancaprofessionalservices.com, and that's the way you can reach out to me. And David, I wanna be so appreciative of your time, and I know that the people that listen to the podcast learn. At least, you know, what I take away for me is I didn't know that there is a way on your statement, in the back of your statement, that says if you have, you know, you haven't received your payment, then send your payment to this address. So I think that's an important hint, at least for me. You know, I might have seen it before, but I never pay attention. So from now on, I'm gonna
Right.
be reading, you know.
Yeah, and it's not. And I'm not. I don't remember the statement, but I know in your
Okay.
loan documents when you're signing loan docs, when you're taking out the loan,
Sure.
it says it on the loan document. So, and
Okay.
if your loan hasn't been sold to somebody else, then it should be the same. Now, if it is sold and assigned to somebody else, then they should reach out to you and send something to you with a new payment address.
Okay, got it. So now with this, we're gonna end, and I hope everybody like our podcast. And next time, we're gonna have a different topic. So we're gonna see what other topic we're gonna select. It's gonna be as exciting as this one.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, David, for your time. All
You're
right.
welcome. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay.